Welcome back to Oh My Pod, the podcast that teaches you how to grow and automate your podcast. My name is Justin J. Moore, your host and your podcast coach. And this is an interview with an amazing podcaster who only started a year ago. And within that year, is already getting 12,000 downloads per month. The trajectory looks insanely upward. And within the next few years, we both expect that his show will be within the top 10 in his niche, which is health. And I brought him on the podcast to essentially break down the pieces of what has made his show so successful in such a short amount of time, and then to bring those pieces to you so that you can figure out how to implement some of this stuff into your own podcast. So we talked about things like exactly how he took his show from 0 to 12,000 downloads per month in a year, why he records 6 episodes at once, all in one day, in order to manage time, how he gets almost every single guest on his show to say, wow, I've never been asked that before, or this is the best podcast guesting experience I've ever had, and how he is doing monetization differently, which I think is incredibly unique and really, really smart, involves partnerships and a lot of patience and long game thinking. So we're going to get into all that stuff and a bunch more. If you enjoyed this episode and want more content and more training and knowledge like this, then I highly encourage you to join our free community on the platform School. It's for podcasters who want to grow their podcasts to 10,000 downloads and beyond. There's great networking opportunities. It's growing and it's alive. We also do weekly Q&As in there where you can come in and ask me and Celine questions, whatever you want to know about podcasting. So the link for that will be in the show notes. Let's get into it. All right, Steve, welcome to the show. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, man. And I'm excited to be in the other seat for a change, answering questions instead of asking them. So that's cool.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel that too when I go onto shows as well. And for you, I was wondering if you've ever actually like done anything talking about your podcast. Have you before?
No, this would be the first.
Cool. Well, I'm glad that you agreed to come on. I'm like, just for everybody listening, Steve's content is fantastic. It's like really personally aligned with me. I've been watching his videos for about a year now. So definitely check his stuff out. He'll be plugging at the end. But he's got a really, really successful podcast. Looks great, sounds amazing, fantastic guests. Everything is just exactly how you would want it. And so I the whole purpose of this episode is just to figure out what moved the needle for him, what really made the difference to bring in listeners, and what was feeling most aligned for him, like what he enjoyed the most of doing a show. Because that's what we want to do. We want a podcast that's also fun to do. So the way that I like to do it, Steve, is I just like to get like right into questions, try to like be super respectful of people's time, your time as well, and the listeners. And so first of all, if you could just give us like an overview of how big your audience is in downloads or listeners or subscribers, like whatever you want to call it, just so that people have an idea of how your show is actually doing.
Yeah, man. So we are constantly growing, which is obviously the trend of a successful podcast. You want to see those numbers ticking upwards, but we do on average around 12,000 downloads a month. Our YouTube subscribership is about 10,500 subs right now. We have about 5,000 and growing on Instagram. And you might have figured this out, but total audio downloads and total metrics can sometimes be hard to find in the podcasting world. But that's kind of where we're at right now, around 10 to 12,000 subs on average per month.
Cool. And how long ago did you, like, when was the first episode out?
It was almost exactly a year ago. This conversation. It's almost exactly a year. We're a bit over that now. So we're probably at like 55 weeks or something, but we just published our year long episode a week or two ago.
Okay. So 55 episodes you're doing weekly.
Once a week.
Okay. And you got all the way up to 12,000 downloads per month. So roughly 3,000 per episode within a year.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You're already in, obviously you're in the top 1% of download numbers by quite a bit. So that's fantastic. This is exactly why I wanted to bring you on. And my one question I had was, you have a beautiful studio setup. Like your whole, everything that you put into the show is clear. Like it's really clear. There's a lot of thought, detail, attention. And just a quick question is like, did you start the show? Because I didn't go back to your first episode. Did you start the show with that level of production, or did that develop as you guys found more success?
No, we came out the gate pretty hot, and we knew that from the get-go we wanted this thing to look good visually, sound good on audio, and obviously just set the bar for an excellent podcast from the get-go. Obviously, as your podcast grows, you can bring more people in. What we really wanted to do is from the off have a catalog of episodes where if somebody joined us like right now, a year in, that they'd want to go back and watch every episode. And that meant that it had to be excellent from the get-go. So it's kind of been really prioritized visually and audio, and then obviously the delivery and content and guests to be as good as we could possibly do, getting started, and then, you know, just tweak from the small tweaks.
That's really smart. So I haven't heard somebody say that before. So because you wanted to create like a bingeable catalog, which you've done for sure, you wanted the beginning to be as good as the now so that people had the same level of quality the whole way through.
Yeah,
so that's cool. I like that. I'm going to hit you with another question that I didn't prepare you for just because I'm wondering on more of a, like a, I guess a mindset side of things. But what was something obviously inspired you to create this show? I know the type of content that you do is something that inspires me as well. So it was probably, I assume that the content itself was something that you just felt the need to share. But why podcasting? Like what, you could have done a 100 different things. Why a podcast?
A couple of reasons. One, personally for me, is that podcasts helped me tremendously. Podcasts were the thing that saved my health and put me on a better trajectory for life.
Me too, man.
The fact that I could kind of come full circle and you know, respect and pay back the game that helped me so much was a really cool endeavor. And two, I am currently and was getting a little jaded with the quickness of the algorithms on Instagram and TikTok, etc., having to create these, you know, hard-hitting reels in 30 to 60 seconds when I like to go deep and I like to discuss things at a level that is not really, it's permitted on those platforms, but it just doesn't do as good. And the podcast felt like an obvious solution to that, you know, to create the sticky, virally kind of content on social media, but bring people over to the content where they're going to give you an undivided 30 to 60 minutes of their attention and ears. So it was just a natural thing. I've always been a talker and a teacher, and I wanted to do that in more in depth. And the beautiful part of the podcast is you can give so much value. You know, it's incredible what we can get from podcasts these days. You can listen to my podcast. You can listen to Harvard neuroscientist Andrew Huberman, PhDs in any field. You can find the best of the best doing what they've always done and giving it away for free. And I just think that's incredible. And I wanted to be a part of it.
So you broke the mold because you could have like, you know, you see the short form content taking priority and you were just like, I'm going to do the exact opposite. And I think that a lot of people have done the exact opposite and have found a huge amount of success because we've kind of been miscategorized as a society that is only interested in short form content. And I think that is a serious like a poor definition of what we actually need, because me and many other people, as we've proved now with podcast listenership going up, is like, people have a hunger for long form, deep content of that, you know, spans a variety of topics and interesting, like important discussions. So yeah, man, same with me. Like podcasting was my teacher in business, in health, in fitness. Like much of what I've done, I found that, I don't know if it's similar with you, but like anytime I'm really interested in something, I'm always trying to get my hands on as much of that stuff as possible. So when I'm like walking or working out or driving, I want to still be learning about that thing. And for me, that was health. And that was listening to Paul Saladino's podcast and Max Lugavere's podcast. And just trying to, so yeah, I totally, totally feel you there. I want to know then, like, so you're at $12,000 a month now. You've got, and you're also prioritizing YouTube as well, which I want to make clear for everybody. Like it's not audio only. The video is a big part of it. You're also creating short form, but also what I find interesting is you're also creating like not so short form, like 5 to 6 minute clips of the podcast, which is also really cool. But how long did it take you from episode one to actually start gaining like some type of notable traction?
I'd say it's been slow and steady growth from the off. We've been consistently growing, and then you see these spikes, you know, whether you just have an episode that does really well for whatever reason, maybe algorithmically it's just in the zeitgeist and you piggyback onto that. And you know, it's crazy sometimes to look and try and decode what's actually going on, because sometimes you'll know that you might think that this was an incredible piece of content, an incredible episode, and you look at the YouTube plays and it might have a couple hundred. And then one that you were okay with, but you know, it didn't compare in your eyes to the previous one. We'll do like 1,500 plays. And you're like, what's going on there? It just seems to be sometimes like the unpredictability of it all. So, you know, growing in that way has been interesting. Big guests have helped, of course. We've had a few big name guests and you can absorb their audience and they drive traffic. And as long as you're giving value and you've got the right call to action on the podcast, like hit the like, hit the subscribe, leave us a comment if this was valuable, share it with a friend. I think if you've given enough value and you've given away 30 minutes, 60 minutes of an incredible conversation, hopefully people are more inclined to do that. I still know it's quite a fight to get people to do it sometimes, but it's been slow and steady growth. And we've been, it was kind of like, it was a little hockey stick to start, which was interesting because I know it's usually slow and then a hockey stick. And then it plateaued a little bit and we're back now into steady growth. So it's just, it's one of those things, man. We're trying to constantly look at the data and figure out what's going on and ethically algo hack and gamify as much as possible while it's not losing our soul in the process of just focusing on the ultimate product, which is good conversations, good people, and giving an enormous amount of value. Like, I trust that it's coming back in the end. If you overgive, you'll find the listeners eventually. And then we'll, you know, put ourselves as the goal of being in a top 10 health podcast in the US and a mainstay there. And then, you know, the top five. And then we'll see about getting the top one spot. It's very competitive up there, but we're going for it, you know?
I was looking over your whole show yesterday and I already knew that you were in a space right now where it was like just only the beginning. Like, you're just at the start. Like, you've already done amazing things, but you guys are like, this will be top 10, absolutely, probably will compete for the one spot and get there. And then, you know, like you said, it's competitive at the top, but 100%, everything is right with it. There's everything is done super well. So I'm wondering, like, I want to know for people listening, because I always get asked this as well, what has moved the needle the most? You mentioned guests, you've had a few big guests on. So I guess when you bring a guest on and you said that you kind of share with their audience, they kind of share the stuff with their audience as well. So my first question is, yes, what is moving the needle the most? And second, with the guests thing, how are you communicating to them or giving them the right kind of content to make sure that they actually want to share it with their audience? Because that's something, you know, if you go on a show and they don't share it, then, you know, it's kind of a waste of potential there. So yeah.
I think one of the things I'm thinking of as the interviewer is giving them a novel experience. Like, when you're going after big guests, they might have been on 25 podcasts, 50 podcasts, 100 podcasts if they've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
I realize that a lot of the times when you're going after big names and big guests, there's nothing that I can really offer them from a financial standpoint or a kind of a positional standpoint where they're going to use me to connect with someone bigger. I'm the little fish here, but what I can always do is give somebody a really enjoyable experience and a different perspective. And I can always do that. And I get a real kick out of having people that have been interviewed a lot say, wow, I've never been asked that question or something to the like, because then if they have fun and they were really into the podcast, they'll want to share it because usually they pull something out of themselves that hasn't been talked about when they've done 99 other podcasts. And that's been the case. People will say all the time, you know, we talk about the same things with the same clients because that's why they're on the show. Coaches, and other professionals they usually have a niche. So they're talking about that niche. So it's coming at it from a slightly different angle of getting them to, you know, just unveil other things that they haven't seen before. So that, you know, comes back to your skills as a podcast host in terms of the, I call it like vibe architecting. That's what you really do as a podcast host. You create the vibe, you curate the vibe, the quality of the questions you ask a lot and being really inquisitive and curious and being like a dog with a bone sometimes, like really asking them to expand, having a plan, but also being able to go off the plan as well. So you can follow a breadcrumb. I think a lot of podcasters, they have like 20 questions in the head that they want to ask and they just run down the list and you can kind of tell that they're just going through the list.
Yeah, man.
You know what might happen? You might get to question five and there's a really valuable thing to noodle on here and go off the track. And if you're so wedded to your list, then you won't be able to go there and that's where the treasure is. So I think it's been a little bit of that. It's been pulling these guests in and just making sure that they leave with a really good experience where they want to share it, not for the growth or not to sell more books or not even to get more clients. That will be secondary to the fact that they had a really cool conversation and they get to say, That was fun. I had a lot of fun talking to Steve. I had a lot of fun on Radical Health Radio. I think you should listen to this one because you'll hear something you haven't heard from me before.
So it's like all around just creating like an incredibly positive experience for them, meaningful experience, so that they're just like called to just like put that out. And in the questions you ask, interesting. So two questions about that. My first one is, do you have, I don't need an example of an actual question, but you're obviously a great interviewer. You just said that people are telling you that all the time. So one question I get asked a lot is like about interview questions, like about asking something, because I often say like the only way to have a unique interview podcast is to ask the guest something that they've never been asked on any other podcast. And that's literally what you just said. So do you have like a way that you come up with that?
I'd say the best way to be interesting is to be interested. And you really want to be interested in the person that you're interviewing. And I think when it's all about growth above all else, sometimes we chase names for the sake of chasing names instead of chasing the names because they're awesome and then being really interested in what they do and what have they said and researching a little bit, like going above and beyond, like really digging into the past and finding something that's unique that can make them smile and actually sit back in the scene and go, wow, you've done your research. You know, that shows. They do this all the time. If you just get the same person asking them the same questions, they're like, here we go again, and it loses the heart. So I think what got me into this position to be a podcast host in the first place is I previously have done 5 years of professional coaching, and coaches are really interested in the person that they're talking to. So the ability to, you know, start with why and continue to pull on a thread and really focus in on the stories and what's really driving what they do and what they say. Because every human I've ever met has a story. And usually we just hear the crazy stories of the people that end up on podcasts. And that's what we're doing to a degree too. But if you really get into somebody's story and you get into the worldview and you get into all of these other areas that come only if you're willing to dig a little bit, that's where the real juicy stuff is. We can stay on the surface and talk about, tell me about this supplement you're saying, or what about your new book? That's great. We will touch on that. But like, why? What was the motivation for writing this new book? What were the biggest challenges when you wrote the new book? Like, who do you really hope that this book impacts? Like different things like that, that are just outside of the box. And I think it's more natural to me because I spent so long doing it. And I think that what I do is, this is kind of mandatory for me. If I'm interviewing a guest, I will listen to at least two podcasts that they've been on.
So oh, that's wow. Minute.
And I will read one of their books or their blog, if that's how they publish, or I will scour their Instagram feed or their Twitter or wherever they're posting and saying a lot of stuff. And then I'll kind of not make any notes on the first pass. I'll just get a consensual vibe of who they are and what they stand for. And then I'll go into something that you would call like contemplation or meditation almost. And then I'll think to myself, like, what do I really want to ask this person based on now having a little bit more of a sense of who they are and what they stand for? And that's served me well so far. And that's given me many of those moments where like, wow, that was the most fun I've had in a podcast for a long time, if not ever. Or wow, I've done 100 podcasts and I've never been asked that question. So I think that's where some of that magic comes from. It's in good prep and just being curious.
That is all great. There are so many great things in there. But I think the one takeaway is like for people listening, like look at how much research he does into the people, like reading an entire book of a person. I've been on several shows where it's clear that they're just cycling through people. And it's just interview after interview with zero intention. This is what separates the top podcasts. And it's funny because on this show, I'm asking you stuff that you've probably never been asked just because you've never gone on a podcast about podcasting. But I totally know what you mean. Like I had, I have questions here that are a framework, right? It's things that I know will be valuable regardless of what happens. But obviously you're going to say things that I can't expect. And as an interview, you have to be like, you know, a little bit flexible and spongy. You can't, you know, and I've been interviewed on both sides of that. So very, very interesting. I like the takeaway of listening to two podcasts before that person comes on. I'm just wondering, like so you must spend like a decent amount of time before every single interview getting to know this person. You're doing it weekly.
Yeah.
So logistically, like how are you managing that and managing your time to keep such a high-end show where you're researching a ton and recording in person? How are you managing that like logistically?
Yeah, it's a good question. And it's interesting because we probably have a slightly unique model that most podcasts follow where we batch episodes. So we don't film every week. We batch 6 episodes. So we do like a, it's creating a marathon of sprints. where like what we do is we'll go out and we'll do these trips and we'll back to back days and we'll go like six episodes. And then there's a release of the pressure valve where I'll decompress. And I, again, this is a thing that I think podcasters should do more, even though we don't like doing it. It's review your own game tape. Like I watch and listen back to every episode because I'm looking to go through what I said with a fine tooth comb. And that was too chunky. You can cut that down. There's a way you can say this. You were saying too much in that interview. Like what's something I want? Like I'm studying it. Not from a place to shame myself or beat myself over the head with a stick and say, oh man, you suck. You could be so much better. But to just look objectively for areas which I can improve because I want my delivery and I want the audience experience to be even smoother. So like reviewing the game tape is just something that came up there. But in terms of the prep, it's like as we're drawing closer, so these batch of six episodes will then be 6 weeks worth of content. So we start to get ahead of the next round of publishing about 2 weeks, before that. So that gives us about every 4 weeks we'll be shooting. So that gives me a time frame to work from. If I know I've got a trip coming up in 2 weeks and I'm going to batch these six episodes, then I start really looking at that at least a week, if not like 10 days out. And that's when I just really ramp up and it becomes a big part of my work day. Like you said, the beauty of podcasting is somebody's always got a podcast out there or a YouTube channel. And I'm listening to that on my daily commute. I'm listening to that while I work out. I'm like actually putting some time in the calendar to do it. So it's not an afterthought of like, oh shit, you know, I'm going to interview this person tomorrow. Let's Google and see what they're all about. Like I've spent some time letting the philosophy kind of seep into me. And I'm making some very loose notes about how I want the conversation to go. And that's kind of the loose process. And then when we're like 48 hours out, kind of just map that out a little bit more, like get the key points that I want to take. And then we take an interesting approach where we try to reverse engineer clips too. We think about like knowing what this person talks about, knowing what they say, what's something that has the potential to have more virality built into it because the clips will serve people clicking on the full episode and that's all about growth. And because we're doing a podcast that we ultimately believe in and is so valuable, we do want to play the game. We do want to do the viral clips because we want more people listening to this show. So that's something we'll reverse engineer and I'll discuss in particular with the producer, Matt, before we go on is like, let's say we want to pull three clips out of this episode. What are they? And we reverse engineer the titles and even like what the thumbnail might look like to get a conceptual image of it. And then it gives me the framing of how to ask that question and when is the right time to ask that question. And I'll usually take something like the YouTube title clip and actually ask that directly in the interview. That's something that's a little more like clickbaity, a little more sexy, a little more extravagant just to, you know, have that process. And these are things that we've implemented more in the last few months of doing this, because at first we were just going the more natural way. And this is now how we're trying to take it to the next level. So again, like we are ethically algo hacking the systems to try and get more eyes and ears on our content.
Yeah. And like you said, at the end of the day, it's just so that more people can fix their health.
Yeah.
Or be prompted to learn more about how to fix their health. So one thing I was wondering while you were saying that is like, so you're saying we, and you got the producer and I'm sure that's not it. So what does the team look like? Like what is the... People, I'll just preface this by saying people want a show like yours. They really do. They look at it and they're like, that's what I want. But they don't realize what's going on behind the scenes. So just if you could just give like an overview of who's involved.
Yeah, like 90% of the podcast team is three people, which is, you know, it's still a small team. It's the producer, Matt. It's the videographer and co-producer, Cade, who does all the audio visual stuff. And then it's sitting down. So the three of us do the vast majority of the work. Then we have some other people outside that will help us with some of the social media stuff, distribution of clips. We'll outsource them editing sometimes, but the bulk of the work is done by three people. And I fully agree, like you look at the businesses, and I use that word intentionally, like a lot of these podcasts that are at the top of the heap now, Diary of a CEO, for example, Chris Williamson's Modern Wisdom, these are businesses now that successful. These have much bigger teams, like Diary of a CEO, I think is like almost a dozen people. Chris Williamson has like 6-7 people, and I'm sure a bunch of like contractors that they use for clips and things like that. So as the show grows, and if this is your, you know, stream of revenue, if you're looking at it like a business, you got to spend money to make money. There's no other business. Like if you're going to open a pizza shop, how are you going to open it for free? And I think there's a blessing and the curse in the social media world, like, cause you can effectively almost do it for free. Cause almost everybody has a phone. Almost everybody has an internet connection. And almost anybody, if the content is valuable enough, can just put it on a tripod that they can pick up for $10 and start a YouTube channel and start a podcast. And they could blow that thing up. Like somebody in the fitness world that's done that really well is a guy called Sam Sulek. His videos are just like non-edited. They're really bad. He doesn't put any attention into all of this stuff. And he's got like over a million subs, so it can work. But obviously, if you're trying to do it in a certain way, you know, you might need the $2,000 camera from Sony. You might need the $300 mic from Shure. You might need X things to set up. And those are great if you have the option to do them. And if you really want to go down this and give it a serious shot and turn it into a business, they're also not necessary. Like the one thing that I say to this is like to my coaches all the time too, like messy action. Take messy action, because if you're waiting for it to be perfect, you'll wait a lifetime. You'll constantly compare yourself to all, oh, you know, I can't do it yet because I don't have the right light. I can't do it yet because I'm waiting until I can get that camera. But the only way to actually get better at the thing is doing the thing, and you have enough to do the thing. So yes, in an ideal world, like you have some people on your team to help you because it's fucking overwhelming, but don't underestimate the power of action. Action is the only thing that's going to give you the feedback and the growth that you're actually looking for. It's not thinking. There's importance in strategy for sure, but action beats strategy and doing beats thinking about doing every single day of the week.
Yeah, there's a lot of things there. Definitely very similar answer to what I say when people are asking whether or not they should buy the expensive camera and get all these things. And is it even worth starting a podcast unless I have all that stuff? So totally. I mean, at the end of the day, like you like strip away all the fancities and all of the little gadgets and things. And all that podcasting is like somebody who has something, like they're called to share something to affect someone's life or to positively influence someone's life. It's just the sharing of the human voice with another human at the end. And so like, you know, it's even funny because some of the best podcasts or my favorite podcasts have some of them have terrible audio quality sometimes. And I don't care. It's about the message, right? So on a different note, you mentioned podcasts like Diary of a CEO being their own businesses, 100%. They can become like seven-figure businesses just on their own through the building their own brand. But curious, like your show, obviously you guys are going to be like, you know, bigger and bigger. But right now, are you seeing any monetization or are you guys pursuing monetization in terms of like ads or stuff or just, yeah, just give me the overview of that.
So we're taking a different approach here and we're actually really playing the long game. And we're actually not, like, if you listen to any one of the 50 plus published episodes, you won't hear a single advertisement. You won't even hear an advertisement at the beginning of the episode. And I don't know if it will always stay that way, but what we wanted to do is really give people an uninterrupted, there are no strings attached, no one's trying to sell you anything of anything. And what we're trying to do there is build enough latent leverage and trust with the audience that when we do mention something because it comes up in the product podcast that we believe in it, that they will more likely go that way. So what you might notice about Radical Health Radio is it's not sponsored by, but it's in collaboration with Heart and Soil. So you mentioned Paul Saladino. That's Paul Saladino's company. And this is a really interesting thing to play on as well for aspiring podcasters to know that you don't always have to go it alone, because what brands are doing as they're growing and they're seeing the potential of things like podcast is saying, why don't we have a podcast as a brand? So Radical Health Radio was a culmination of a couple of connections that I had with, you know, Paul and the CEO of that company, Dean, them wanting to spread their message and expand it and become more of a media company and saying like, we want to sponsor something that becomes its own thing, but we don't want it to just be this front for selling organ pills, which is why we don't push it. We just present you with loads of good information. And then we say, and you know, when it comes up, it like we prioritize eating animal protein, for example, and eating nose to tail and organs, and go and get them. And if you don't like them and you can't stand the taste, we just so happen to know a brand called Heart and Soil that sells these amazing packages. And you can go for, that's about the most pitch you're ever going to get. And the podcast is not monetizing in that way. That what the podcast is doing is building an awful lot of trust so that the people just follow on this journey and play in the long game, that, you know, the AdSense and things like that will come in the end, and the growth with partners and collaborators will come in the end. And we've been pitched by other companies to try and have them be a sponsorship spot on our show. And we've said no at this point. So we're just trying to stay to that integrity at this point. And I don't think it's probably not the fastest, best move from a business standpoint, which is monetize at all costs. But I think it helps us to just really stay aligned and in integrity and to really think about what we want to say yes to.
In my opinion, whatever is aligned is the best business move for your business. So man, you're playing like goodwill, building goodwill for years. And obviously, I truly believe that that pays off in exponentially in dividends. But another thing that you said is funny is like, cause what you're doing with the supplements that you're selling is like, every time that somebody takes one of those supplements, their lives improve. Like I know I take the supplements. I've been taking them for like a year now. So it's like, it's all just so positive and there's so much, like, even though you're trying to sell, even though it's good for you to sell this supplement, it's like pushing the supplement. The end result is that someone's better off. So it's all, I think this is one really cool thing about podcasting is like you are delivering so much free education value, changing people's lives by investing your time into this. And at the same time, you know, the only way that you make money is if somebody's life improves. And so I think it's just like, I think it's great. I think you're doing it right. I just want to ask like one, maybe two more things because I want to be respectful of your time. But so on YouTube, you guys are creating not just shorts, but you're making like 5 to 6 minute, like, I don't know what you want to call it. Like, they're not, I guess they are clips technically, but they're clips you would think are like under a minute. But so, and just like on a logistics side, they're horizontal, right? Cause they're on YouTube. What's the thought process behind that? And have you seen a lot of kickback from that?
Yeah, it's one of those kind of genius leaves clues elements where we've looked at podcasts that have done cool things and grown well. And we're borrowing from the playbook a little bit and then also trying to innovate and do things our own way. What's really cool about podcasting is, I don't know when the official launch of the first podcast was, but it's still a relatively newish endeavor. It's probably 15 years old and only gone like super mainstream in the last probably 10, 5 years, something like that. So the beauty of that is that there are still no rules. I mean, the biggest podcast in the world is the Joe Rogan Experience, which just started as him smoking pot in his room on a webcam with his friends. And now the guy will, you know, sit across some guy that walked across Alaska last week. And then the next one will be a PhD scientist. And then the next one will be his comedian friend. And they just get drunk on the show. Like, there are no rules. You can do whatever you want in podcasting. So we're trying to just try different things and see what happens. And I guess the structure here is the shorter clips, like the YouTube shorts and the stuff that then gets repurposed to Instagram and TikTok, etc., is trying to build enough intrigue and curiosity because they're a little bit more clipped in a sensationalized way that just make people want to go and click on the show. As you're scrolling through YouTube, somebody might get intimidated by a 60-minute show, but if they see a clip, and that's what we do, we take out like a specific segment of the show. And the answer to this question that I asked was like a 7 to 9 minute answer with a little bit of back and forth. And we'll just put that answer on. And it's just all part of the strategy for growth, because either way, it serves to get people interested in the main production. It's the longer form episode, whether they watch that on YouTube or listen to it. This is more of a YouTube-centric approach, of course, because clips only exist there. There's no clips audio or nothing like that. So you're basically trying to grow on YouTube, as well as just increase the audio downloads, which I think is working really well because, like you said, within a year, getting over 10,000 subs on YouTube is quite rare. Like we talked to a few growth specialists and strategists just to try and get a sense of what that would look like. And they basically said, you know, with your metrics and your growth of what you've been able to accomplish in a year, that does put you in a pretty unique bracket. You know, you're up there with, you know, some of the top performing podcasts growth trajectory wise. So it's working. And I think we'll just kind of continue to look into that, to tweak things and to see. And if it's not working, we're not too wedded to the idea of like scrapping this idea. But I do think there is just like making as many bits of content as you can to meet people where they're at. So whether that's people that just love the 60 second stuff, maybe people have a 10 minute window and a break at work and they want to watch this one specific clip, both of those build intrigue to make them click on the main episode and then sit with me for 45 minutes, 60 minutes as we interview an expert on something and go deeper.
Yeah. And it's interesting because also like if somebody wanted to send something to like a friend or a family member about a specific thing that they knew they were struggling with, like let's say sleep or thyroid or whatever you wanted to call it, then having like a shorter piece of content about that, that is so that you don't have to like send them to a full podcast episode and give them like a timestamp or something, I guess. Yeah. So it's all cool. It's just like, you know, little cells, people accept a short clip, then they accept a longer clip, then they accept a longer episode, then they accept four episodes and more and more. And then you build fans, and that's how you really, you know, change people's lives. So last thing that I'm wondering is, I just want to know, like, you know, I'm assuming it hasn't been all like sunshine and rainbows. Have you had any, like, maybe you could just like talk about like one big challenge or something that you had to overcome and how you overcame it? Cause I know a lot of people, podcasts, you know, 99% of shows won't make it past episode 20. I think a lot of that has to do with vision and having a vision for where it can go, having that northern star to guide, you know, so you can withstand all the problems. But if you just go into like a challenge and how you overcame it, I would love that.
Yeah, I think the reason most of those podcasts fail before episode 20, or, you know, it becomes really rare to get past that, is I think it's a reflection of a bit of an instant gratification culture. You know, we just want to blow up immediately. And usually, you know, whether that's messy actioned our way into that, or whether we've spent $10,000 on equipment and then we think that that's going to accelerate our timeline, you've got to put in time, you know, you just have to. And I think that's really important to make sure that you're having fun whilst doing it, because if you're not having fun, what's the point? And it's a nihilism that you can't compete with the person that's having fun. Because whilst you might be able to go really fast out of the gate and you might be able to have a bunch of money behind you or whatever it is, you might burn out in 1 year, and the person that's having fun is going to do it for the rest of their lives. And over a long enough timeline, they will win. So one of the things that I went into this project with a year ago when we started it is, I'm going to have fun. Because if I'm having fun, I trust in the outcome. Eventually, we'll be able to figure out all of the logistical stuff that we're talking about today. But the biggest thing, it needs to be fun. If I'm having fun, the listener's having fun. If I'm having fun, the guest is having fun. If we're having fun, we can solve any problems. Now, what are some of the problems that we've faced on this? Like, personally, it's the imposter syndrome that comes up for anybody that's going to add the voice to what feels like a saturated space. Like, I mentioned a few names, like Andrew Huberman's got a podcast out there who can talk about health things. So naturally, one might be inclined to say, well, what's the point in me doing it if Andrew Huberman's out there? I'm not a PhD from Harvard, so why are they going to listen to me? But I realized that people don't always need or want Andrew Huberman. What they want is somebody that they can relate to. What they want is somebody that they can connect with. And there are so many people. There's 7.5 billion people on the planet. Each one is unique. You're unique as the storyteller. So take something that's been talked about ad nauseum, but put your own spin on it, and it will find its way to the person that resonates with your message the best. So it's just, you know, a little bit of that as you go through, as you improve and as you listen back and you're kind of cringing about things that you said, oh, I wish I could have said that better. Like, I think that puts people off a lot of the time, and it's really overwhelming and they want it to grow faster. So those are just some of the more natural teething pains. And then, you know, more kind of real world examples. We've had hiccups. You know, we did a show on our last run where we filmed for an hour. It was a great show. And then our video guy was like, guys, it wasn't recording. And we had to reshoot the whole thing. And it's like,
you reshot it with the guests?
We reshot. Yeah, we reshot.
Oh, man. It's like, it's okay. It's way better if it's a solo thing. But if you have a guest, because I've been on both ends of that. Dang. Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah. And that's the other thing with guests. Like, we've had travel complications. We were set to go at 9 a.m. And then at 8:30, the person that's supposed to be there is like, hey, I'm not going to make it. I woke up and really sick. We've had all kinds of stuff. And they're the bumps and bruises that, you know, you're going to come with this territory. And you just have to let it roll, you know, roll off water off a duck's back, as they say. So there has been some challenges. There will continue to be challenges. I still think, even though we are growing well, I truly believe we're wildly undersubscribed. And sometimes we get in our heads and frustrated about, like, we should be further along. But this is also the territory. I know you're a fan of Hormozy, and one of his things is to remember that, like, ask yourself, did you expect this to be easy? No. Did you expect this to be hard? Yes. Well, guess what? This is what hard feels like. And this is why most people quit. And this is why, if you don't quit, this is why you will win. So it's just embracing that, like, oh yeah, this is what hard feels like. It's not supposed to be easy, even though it's just talking into a microphone and posting it on the internet, which relatively speaking looks easy. The thing is quite complex to do it for a long enough and delay gratification and not get in your head and not talk yourself out of the game. And remember, this is why most people quit. This is why all of those podcasts don't make it to episode 20, because they weren't willing to endure the hard. And if you can put out 50 and then 100 and 200 and you make it to 1,000 episodes, you're going to win, but you just got to keep going.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and I think if people could be, I think about this a lot. Like I asked my friend the other day who's struggling a bit financially. I'm like, if I could guarantee that within, you know, like you said, like within, let's say for a podcast, like 1,000 episodes, if I could guarantee 100% that you would achieve massive success at 1,000 episodes, would you do whatever it took? And they're like, obviously, yeah. And it's like, okay, so you need to be the one to believe, you need to be the one to have ultimate hope that will happen, and then you'll do whatever it takes to whatever's necessary. But if you're not able to do that, then that's why all the shows fail. It's a mixture of vision and hope and faith, and also looking at what other people have done, looking at what other people's roads to success, which is why I wanted to bring you on as well, to kind of mirror, like, okay, you know, this is exactly what they did. And so, you know, if I take pieces from that and pieces from other people and my own ideas. So yeah. And I think that's a great place to stop, because you kind of like tied everything together at the end there really, really beautifully. I could definitely ask a bunch more, but we're kind of at the end of the episode. So where do you want people to find Radical Health Radio? Just, I'm also going to link it below, but just send people to your show.
Yeah, the username is on all of the platforms. So we got Instagram, we got YouTube, of course. If you're into more of the visual podcast space and you want to look at a podcast that shot really well and it's beautifully formatted, and I think that's the place to go, Radical Health Radio on all podcast channels. And if you go to radicalhealthradio.com, there's a free little sign up there for our 7 steps to radical health as a nice little freebie. So that's where it's all at.
I love it. And yeah, the show is definitely a YouTube, like a very, very good YouTube show. I've watched a lot of the episodes through YouTube. Yes, tons of good stuff there. We're all most likely listening to this also entrepreneurs, and it's important for us to have amazing energy levels and positive state of mind to best serve people, and food, and not just food, but just health in general is, believe is the way to that energy that we all crave. So yeah, thanks so much for coming on, man. I really appreciate the time. I look forward to seeing this show literally 10x. I could see this show being 10x what it is now shortly. I'm surprised it's like, I've watched a bunch. I'm surprised it's not already utterly massive, but it's going to get there. So I'm rooting for you.
Yeah, I think so too, man. And when we blow up and we hit whatever number it is, we'll come back on and we'll discuss what got us from 10k to 100k, and we'll keep going.
Let's do it, man. Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Cheers, Justin. Thank you.